Hello, and welcome to Millennium Grown Broadcast Network. My name is Wendy Turner, and I am the host of Women's Millennium Hour. I talk to all sorts of people about all sorts of crazy things. And tonight we have a special guest, and we're going to talk about cancer and how cannabis helps with cancer. Our guest is doing a documentary on cancer. His name is Danny Pinzella. I'm hoping I'm saying that correctly. But he is.
I think you're pronouncing that right.
Yeah. Pinzella?
He's traveling around the world, and we're trying to get the pronunciation right. But absolutely, and that's amazing. And he's trying to get reception in, and definitely it's Danny Pinzella of does pot cure cancer. That's right, he's calling back in. So you just keep doing what you're doing, Wendy. That's amazing.
Okay, well, I'm going to kind of share what and give our listeners a brief overview of what does pot curecancer.com is all about. I actually met this man, and I don't think he remembers because I was at the medical conference that he was at here in Denver last year when he was taping some things. We briefly met, and I watched the video and I recognized him. But I just want to share he has a GoFundMe, and everybody needs to support this. Getting these documentaries out are crucial to our journey with cannabis and to get it to be legalized and to have it as medicine. So donating to him and his GoFundMe is an excellent way to give back. A lot of people know somebody that has cancer and can be helped with it. And this is, it's an important journey. Cancer touches all of us in some way. Somehow, and it really touched him because he lost his mom. And who wants to watch their mom, deteriorate from this awful disease and not be able to see her anymore, not be able to allow your kids to see her because she's not there. This is not fair. When we know that there is something out there that can help her cancer, and does it cure? Does it cure cancer? We've heard so many testimonies that yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Well, and you know what, Wendy, I have to say, you know personally, you have like the down low with your son's medication, his caregiver, Jason Cranford, Flowering Hope, that particular mm-hmm. man, he is in the know with Dr. Raphael Meshulam in Israel, and they've been doing the studies since the 40s, 50s, 60s, and I'd like to say I think Danny is on the line, and he would be somebody. I'm surely, Danny, are you on the line? I don't know. He might have dropped, but that's one of the things that people just don't quite understand. Is that
I agree?
There's decades, and mm-hmm. your son, Colton is a teenage boy. Well, I mean, literally a man, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything that he's dealing with, you've got to go all natural.
Right.
If you want to get real, we were taping his first show, and the kid had a slice of pizza, and it put him in the hospital. Is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Hold on. I think we've got Danny calling in. Hold on just a second. Danny, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Danny. Okay, Danny is there. And this is amazing. This is an unbelievable show because, you know, Wendy Turner is the mother of Colton Turner, who has Crohn's disease. And Danny, now Danny, is it Panzella?
That's correct. You got it. I know that's a hard word
right.
for people outside of New York. But that was good. You got it for a try.
Well, you know, I'm an Okie. I'm from Oklahoma, and Wendy's from Illinois. But the point is, no matter where you're from, cancer has affected somebody you know. And
absolutely,
you're doing this amazing documentary. You have interviewed people that both Wendy and I know. Justin Kander, you know, you are does pot cure cancer? And so I'm just amazed and thrilled for this thing to happen because people are listening, people need to know, and I'm just proud to be a part of it. So welcome, mm-hmm. Danny Panzella, and with Wendy Turner, the host of Millennium Women's Hour. And please, ladies and gentlemen, if you know anybody with cancer, tune in now.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for having
me
on. I really appreciate the opportunity to just share a little bit about the project.
I am. My son has Crohn's disease, and it's not cancer. But we know so many people that have had cancer, and you know, we advocate for everyone. And like Amy said, and like I said before, we all know someone who has touched our lives that has had cancer. And, you know,
yeah.
it's a growing epidemic. And you raise an important question. You know, does pot cure cancer? You know, and in your journey, I mean, you've talked to some really awesome people, and I don't know if you heard me before in our intro. We've met. I don't know if you remember, but I recognized you when I watched your video at the medical conference last year in Denver.
Ah, yeah.
I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Marijuana
for medical professionals?
Yes. I attended that, and I actually met you. I remembered your face. It's nice seeing or talking to you again. We barely briefly introduced each other. And then we were off busy doing our thing. But what an amazing journey that you're on. And I know a little bit about it. So you lost your mom to breast cancer 7 years ago.
Yes. So,
and that's what started this journey.
That's what started the journey to do the research. So I'll give a little bit of background about me. I came
Perfect.
From a very conservative background. I come from probably the only conservative part of New York City, Staten Island. And it's a very conservative, very Republican area. So I've always been very conservative. I was never into smoking marijuana. I think I had smoked twice, you know, just socially, you know, peer pressure kind of thing when I was young. But I never really was into it. I wasn't a part of marijuana culture or cannabis culture. So my idea of what medical marijuana was, even though I wasn't opposed to medical marijuana because I was somewhat, even though I was conservative being younger, I guess I was a little bit more libertarian. So I wasn't opposed to medical marijuana, but I thought it was just getting high for pain relief. It had the side effect of, you know, appetite stimulation and anti-nausea, which I think is what mm-hmm. probably most people believe. You know, I think the polls right now are between 60 to 70%, and I'm sure that's rising every day, that are in favor of medical marijuana, legalizing medical marijuana. So that's kind of where I was at. I never thought when my mom was diagnosed, now this was actually the second time she had breast cancer. She had breast cancer when I was a kid.
Oh, right.
And she, it was 15 years later, it came back. And now it had metastasized into her bones and her liver. So she went for her regular scan. I guess it was every 6 months. She went for her scan in October. Her markers were good. By March, they were off the charts, and they gave her 2 years to live. So, and this was, I guess this must have been 2005, I believe. So they put her right away on chemo. I don't believe she had radiation. She had radiation the first time when I was a kid. But anyway, they put her on chemo, and about a year into the chemo treatment, now I was a professional real estate broker, so I have a lot of, I can make my own schedule, and I was in her appointments. And so I was spending a lot of time with her. So about a year into the treatment, I'm like, this is killing her. This is not helping at all. Like, I could just see the way the chemo was just deteriorating her body. And I was like, it just doesn't make sense. So I started to do research alternative, more holistic cancer treatments and therapies. So first I came across Dr. Gerson, Max Gerson's therapies, which is, it's basically just nutrition. And I started to read about the philosophy behind it. And I was like, this makes sense. It makes sense that if you give the body the nutrition it needs, your immune system does its job the way it's supposed to do it, and you'll be healthy, right? So,
right.
So it made sense. I didn't really go that deep into it. Then I stumbled across some of the medical marijuana research, but it was, my mom was a born again Christian, so the word marijuana to her, she was totally closed off to it. She basically just said, it's in God's hands. If he wants me to be healed, I'll be healed. And if not, then, you know, whatever. So, you know, then I'll be in heaven. It'll be fine. So, unfortunately, I couldn't get her to consent to anything holistic. I wanted to take her to Mexico to the Gerson Clinic and all that. So we continued with the therapies, and eventually she literally died in my arms. She took her last breath. While I held her, we were at home. She was at home on hospice care for the last 2 weeks. And so, I mean, I guess it was good that she was able to be home. But, you know, I did hear you mention earlier about, you know, our kids. My son doesn't have a grandmother because of this. And really, it was doctors who have not done their due diligence, in my view, on the way the body works, on nutrition. I think that's what killed her. It's malpractice on an institutional scale that nutrition is not taught. Nutrition is not studied by doctors. It's all about chemical, petrochemical, for the most part, treatments. And they're not cures. They know they're not cures. I think the best case scenario is they'll say chemo gives you 30% chance. 30%. You know, I interviewed Dr. Don Abrams a few weeks ago. And, you know, he's the head of oncology. He has to be very careful. I don't know what he personally believes because he plays his cards very close to his vest.
Yes, he does.
And he told me that there's no evidence that cannabis cures cancer. But to him, as a doctor ingratiated into the medical system, evidence means human clinical trials, which obviously we all know they won't allow, or they're just starting to, you know, to allow. And, you know, in the last 2 years since I started the film and Colorado legalized and Washington State, I mean, the floodgates have opened and things are moving so quickly, and it's really encouraging to see. Anyway, I'm kind of getting off track, I think, but
No. Keep going.
That's what inspired me. That's really what inspired me to make the film. I said, you know what? After my mom died, I went to a deep depression, and, you know, I also took a big financial hit during the financial crisis. So that happened at exactly the same time. My mom passed away in December of 2007. The financial crisis was hitting at just about that time. George Bush was on television saying we need to suspend capitalism to save it. And, you know, all that stuff was going on at the same time. So I took like a double hit. And So I kind of put it on the shelf for a couple of years. And then I was in a tattoo shop, and I pick up a copy of High Times magazine, and there's an article about Dr. William Courtney and his work with juicing cannabis and using raw cannabis, and that cannabis is really a vegetable.
Right.
And that it was that article that kind of reinvigorated my interest, and I started to do more research. And then I decided, you know what, I'm going to make this film. I went to film school, but I worked on films, but I never did a film myself. And I said, you know what, this is going to be it. This is for my mom, so that no other son or daughter or grandchild has to be without their grandmother or their parent, because at least they need to have this information to include it in their decisions about their health care.
Absolutely.
Because they're denied this information. This is information that's been hidden from people. And it's,
for decades.
It's, you know, it's, yeah, for decades. For probably almost 100 years, I would say. Yeah. Or maybe.
It's been a long time.
Maybe not. Yeah. 70 years, I think. Right? So
yeah.
That's why I decided to make the film. And let me tell you, people are starving for this information. I spend
Absolutely.
Most of my day on the phone with patients who want to find out from me, what's the research you're doing? Tell me. I need it. My wife is sick. My husband's sick. I'm sick. People are desperate for this information. And I get
people
messages
are.
All day long from people who just, they're starving for it and they want to know. I can't
they
make
are.
This film fast enough.
You are absolutely right. I do the same thing. My son has Crohn's disease, and he is 19 months in remission from debilitating Crohn's disease. And just today, I got a message from South Africa, of somebody from South Africa who also has Crohn's disease, who wants more information on how cannabis works for my son.
Yeah.
People are desperate. And what's so sad is that this was Colton's last resort. And it shouldn't be that. It should be our first option. It
That's
is
right.
the most non-toxic.
It usually is. It usually
right.
is the last resort. I've lost a lot of friends who I've met through this movement who it was their last resort, and unfortunately it was too late.
Right. And think about the ones that it's still their last resort, and it wasn't too late. And how many lives cannabis saved at the last
Oh, minute? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and
Absolutely.
I feel so bad for all those that didn't lose their lives, that didn't have the opportunity to use cannabis. But gosh, what would have happened if they would have been able to use cannabis first? Would they have suffered as much as they did through chemotherapy? You know, that's a question that I would love to have answered, and I would love to see some research on. And I know that there is tons of research out there. There's anecdotal evidence, and there is clinical evidence. There's clinical evidence out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, the United States government just doesn't want to, you know, they want to suppress it. Because it's, you know, cancer is a very, very expensive and money-making disease. You know,
absolutely.
I know a little boy right now in my hometown back in Illinois who is suffering from brain cancer. And their parents are putting him through the traditional chemotherapy. And it's sad. It's sickening to watch this little boy suffer. And I can't even imagine it being my mom. You know, it's your mom. You love your mom, and you don't want to see that happen. And what if, you know, now you have to live with a what if, and that's not fair. That's just not fair.
Yeah, and really, the only thing that could have, it's just if I would have had the knowledge prior to her getting sick or gotten it a little bit sooner, you know, I could have saved her life. She could have saved
yeah,
her
absolutely.
Life.
Mm-hmm.
You can save your own life. You don't need to rely on somebody else. You can, but that, and I think that's a big part of this kind of how this system works. Without getting too much into the politics of it, because I vowed not to cover politics in this film. There are so
yeah,
many
good
films
luck.
about the politics of cannabis and the politics of prohibition. But I mean, really, it's fear, right? People
right.
are afraid. So what they end up doing is deferring their responsibility to take care of themselves, to heal themselves, onto someone else. Well, I'm going to do whatever the doctor says. They're the expert. They know best.
Right.
I'm not going to do the research. I'm not going to, you know, and it's sad, but it's because of fear. And I can absolutely empathize with the fear of you're being told by an expert, quote unquote, that you're going
right.
to die. You're sick and
yeah.
you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so
and there is nothing out
can,
there that's
that
going to help you other
paralyzing.
Than these horrible. Mm-hmm. It
right.
is.
And,
it
and
is
we can
absolutely.
We can give you chemo, but it's, you know, 30% is your best shot. And we're going to try and kill the cancer before we kill you. And obviously we know that most people, even if they don't die during the chemo, it damages their system so badly that eventually they die of ancillary health issues, medical issues that arise from burning their body with chemotherapy.
Absolutely. The repercussions last forever.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
You know, and what are we doing? I mean, look, go back to why we have chemotherapy. Look what it was. Agent Orange? Was it something like that? You know, that's where we found that this kills cancer? Well, it's killing our bodies. And we should
it kills everything. Of course it kills cancer because it kills everything.
Exactly. I mean, why would you want to do that? Why? And, you know, I'm so happy and I'm so lucky to have a progressive family because when Colton got sick, and Colton had to go through chemotherapy also, Crohn's mm-hmm. is very, very similar to cancer, but not near as fatal. So it's, you know, we go kind of through the same things. He took methotrexate and infused drugs and sat in that chair to get his IVs done for hours and hours on end. And I sympathize with all those moms and dads and, you know, kids. You know, I would hate to see my mom have to go through that and sit by her side. But he did it, and we went through all of that. You know, we did the whole westernized therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother was like, why are you doing this? You know that there's a holistic treatment out there. Find it and do it. And I'm so thankful for her and what she has said to me, because, you know, all these westernized medicines weren't helping Colton. And I see it every day in my little friend that's suffering in my hometown. It's not working. You know, he's slowly dying, and that's not a way of, you know, a 7, I think he might be 8-year-old should have to live.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to do something about that. And I think that your documentary
Absolutely.
Is an excellent way to bring out the open-minded people and say, okay, listen, we're talking about this now. We're starting a conversation. Let's talk. Let's do this. And let's get the research out there and let's see if pot does cure cancer. You know, and I'm sitting here on my computer, and there is a study from Spain that says Spain's study confirms cannabis oil cures cancer and
yep.
that it's through apoptosis. And, you
that's
know,
right.
here I Googled it.
No, that's the work of the Guzman team. Yeah, you know, coming from the conservative background, I thought to myself, okay, conservatives are who stand in the way of legalization for the most part, so or people with conservative views on marijuana at least. So how do I get through to them? Everybody's been touched by cancer. So if I can show conservatives that there's actual scientific merit to this. It's not, you know, former mayor, New York Mayor Bloomberg gets on the radio and says medical marijuana is a hoax. It's just people that want to get stoned. They make up these excuses to get medical marijuana passed so that they can be stoned all the time. And, you know, that has got to be one of the most ignorant statements ever. But
oh, amen.
If I can show you that there is scientific data, even if we haven't proved it yet. Look, in one of Guzman's earliest studies, he proved he could get rid of tumors in 90% of rats. 90%. Now, obviously, rats aren't humans, but, I mean, there's enough evidence there to say we can go forward and we can continue to study this. We need to lift prohibition so doctors can study it freely. and not according to, you know, just studying the few garbage strains that the U.S. federal government allows them to study.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so if I can show you that there's real merit, and then you'll support the research. Now, I've had patients come to me and, oh no, I won't do it. They'll talk to me and they'll ask me about the information. I'll give them the information, and then because it's illegal, no, I won't do anything that's illegal. And so we need to get rid of that barrier so that people can, you know, and I know the illegally healed, the hashtag illegally healed kind of came out of, I believe it came out of Colton's story, didn't it?
No, actually, illegally healed was around before. He said, I'd rather be illegally alive than legally dead.
Right.
Because what he was doing was taking, he was on Humira. And this Humira, one side effect, just one side effect, to Humira is T-cell lymphoma. And T-cell lymphoma is fatal. You're not going to survive it. They're going to give you 6 weeks to live. And I'm sitting here thinking, my gosh, what am I doing to my son? I'm giving him something that can give him cancer that's supposed to help with his Crohn's disease. And then I find out that it's just a 1% chance. I'm like, oh, okay. So I feel a little bit better. But then I start researching a little bit more. And I found families that have gotten T-cell lymphoma and their child has died from Humira. And on their death certificate, it says complications of Crohn's. It doesn't say T-cell
lymphoma.
Right,
well, they're not going to blame the drug.
Oh, of course not.
If they blame the drug, there's all kinds of financial implications. So they can't do that.
Exactly. Which is absolutely ridiculous. Why do we have these medications out there? Why do we have chemotherapies out there that are killing people? And if the doctors would just stop and listen for a second and listen to these people's bodies and what they're saying and say, let's try this. It can't hurt you. It's not,
you know,
gonna hurt you. Cannabis is not going to hurt you.
A lot of people, you know, they take the science argument and they'll argue with me that, you know, this is science and the doctors know and all this. And how is it that you know? Who are you? You don't have a medical degree. How could you know all this? And et cetera, et cetera. So my answer to that is we have a crony capitalist funded scientific system. So I would argue it's not really science. It's science that's controlled by capitalism. Right? So there's an agenda.
Yes.
There's a profit motive agenda that is behind all this quote unquote science being done.
It is.
Because
you're
to me,
right.
I'd rather take evolution over science, man-made science, or what man claims is science. And to me, evolution is nutrition. Nutrition is how our bodies have evolved to defend themselves, to heal themselves. I mean, this to me seems like a no-brainer. Now, I didn't always think this way because I never really thought about it until my mother was sick. That's when I started to really consider this and consider this system. And I think that's the problem, that most people don't think about it until they're sick. And then once they're sick, that fear takes over. And now I've got to just rely on the experts. Anything I can do to keep myself alive, and the experts know better than me, so I just will defer to them. And that's
Absolutely.
How this system stays in place. And,
Absolutely.
You know, thank God for,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. And thank God for people like, you know, Max Gerson and the Guzman team and Dr. Courtney and Melamed and all of these doctors
Sicily,
that I've been
Dr.
speaking
Sicily.
With. Sue Sicily, right. You know, all these doctors that I've been, Mara Gordon and Justin Kander and all
yeah.
these people that I've been interviewing who have dedicated their lives to spreading this information at great personal cost sometimes.
Yes, yes, it is.
There's a personal risk that they take.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going
to,
a lot of these doctors can federally lose their license.
Sure.
This is a Schedule I drug. You know, they're not
That's
supposed
right.
to be prescribing this or even, you know, recommending it. You know, they can lose their license, and that's ridiculous. That's not fair.
And I think that's,
you know,
I think
when
that's why most
know
doctors
that there's something
won't take
else.
This. And I think that's
exactly.
why most doctors are kind of just staying out of the thing, and they'll stay out of the fray and see where it goes. But they're doing
Which
great
is just
service
wrong
to
for
their
your
patients.
Patient because I'm sorry. Isn't the code of ethics for a doctor to do no harm?
Yeah, and that's
our
whole medical system does is harm.
Exactly. And what does cannabis do? You know, it drives me crazy. I had a doctor one time tell me that, and it's the only negative comment that I've ever had in this whole journey that we've been on with Colton. Aren't you afraid that he's going to be amotivational? He's doing cannabis. And I was like,
he's going to be a stoner.
Dude,
even if that was
dead.
Yeah, exactly. even if he was that case, even if that was the case and he's just going to be a lazy stoner for the rest of his life, I'd rather have Shaggy from Scooby-Doo as a son than no son at all.
Amen. Exactly. And that's what I told him. I said, I would rather him be, and we always tease Colton, and it's just so bad. But we're like, we'd rather have you living in a van down by the river, you know, or living in our basement, playing video games all day, you know. But we have you, and I'm not mourning my son. You know, he's here,
right.
And he's doing great,
right.
And he's growing. And chemotherapy didn't do that. Cannabis did.
Right.
You know, and
yeah.
That's what we need to get documentaries like yours out. We need to spread the word to the multitudes. And I was just on the radio with the fellows from Weed for Warrior Project and the Cannibal Run. And we discussed how this is an important journey. These are important things that you guys are doing because it gets the word out. It's not preaching to the choir anymore. If we can
right.
get more people to watch your documentary, to come out
well, you know,
and talk to these people, it's important.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's why I actually titled it the way I did. You know, I've gotten a lot of flack from the cannabis community about using the word pot because it's a slang term, because it's been kind of a pejorative term. But pot, I did some market research before titling the film, and pot is the most recognized word for marijuana or for cannabis on the planet.
Right.
And so the title kind of sounds a little sarcastic, right? Oh, yeah, pot, does pot cure cancer? And so the idea was to kind of reel the skeptics in, almost thinking that, oh, this is gonna debunk this conspiracy theory that marijuana cures cancer. So let me watch this so that I can argue with my liberal idiot friends who all tell me that, you know, cannabis can cure cancer. And then I'm going to reel them in and say, here's the evidence. We're going to talk about the endocannabinoid system. We're going to talk about apoptosis. We're going to talk about cannabinoids and how they work and how our biology is designed.
Right.
Whether it's by evolution or by intelligent design, it really doesn't matter what your belief is, because we can show you what the science is and show you what we figured out so far. And we have just barely scratched the surface.
Absolutely.
We barely know what THC and CBD do. And those are just the first two that we've studied. There's another, depending on who you ask, they're between 80 and 150 cannabinoids. So,
right.
And God knows how many more that we haven't even seen yet.
Right, exactly. And what do they do? You know, we have
what?
this whole CBDs, you know, craziness going on right now. You know, oh, CBD's great. And THC is this, you know, evil cannabinoid, which is just absolutely wrong. But there's CBN
yeah.
and CBG and THCV and THCA and THCVA. And, you know, there's just so many letters of the alphabet involved in this plant. And we need to
yep.
study every single one of them. You know, it,
I'm glad
it's
you brought
not
up.
Just okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that I'm glad you brought up THC, the evil cannabinoid, because you know there is absolutely a stigma to THC and this CBD craze lately. I mean, I kind of feel the same way that you do, that or the way it seems that. THC is kind of getting a bad rap because you get quote unquote high from it, as if that's a
right.
that would be a bad thing. So I like to say two things. Number one, you're getting high from pharmaceutical drugs. Don't think
Absolutely.
That you're going to take chemo and you're not getting high. You're getting high. Okay, that's the first thing. So we can eliminate that argument. Dr. Bob Melamed It was the first scientist that I interviewed for this documentary. And what he told me was, the way he phrased it was, everybody's high. You're high right now. Your body is producing cannabinoids. You're high. When you take a run, runner's high, as it's called, is cannabinoid. That high
right
you're getting is from your body's own cannabis. So everyone is high all the time at different levels. Yes,
exactly.
When you smoke a joint, you're getting an infusion, of a quick infusion of cannabinoids, and that's why you feel that dramatic high where you get quote-unquote stoned, because it's such a dramatic change, a dramatic influx of cannabinoids.
Right.
If our cannabinoid levels, if our cannabinoid levels were always at the levels that they would be, I would, that does happen when you use cannabis a lot. The high tends to dampen, right? You kind of get used to it. You get
right
acclimated to the cannabinoid
mm-hmm
levels, and you no longer feel stoned. And I think
right
that's where, you know, conservatives kind of get this idea that, oh, yeah, and then you have to use more and more and more. And that's how, you know, that you get addicted to it. And rah, rah, rah.
Which is not true, because it's homeostasis. You know, you're
right,
you're
exactly
even keeled now. You know, so I have enough cannabinoids in me that I'm okay. You know, I don't need that anymore. But
you're healthy.
You know, I think, yeah, you know, and that's, you know, Colton is healthy. It drives me insane. I was asked one time, and I get this question a lot, actually, but this one time I finally just let it go. Aren't you afraid that Colton's going to get high? You know, aren't you afraid of that? And I said to them, I said, you know, morphine has done worse to him than cannabis
sure
ever has. And it hurt him. He screamed at the top of his lungs, shaking, you know, squeezing his fists as tight as he possibly could, terrified that something was going on in his body that he didn't understand because he was on morphine. And you're going to ask me if I'm afraid of a high? And euphoria? Isn't medicine supposed to make you feel good? I just didn't understand
yeah
that. You know, morphine was supposed to make his pain go away, and it didn't. It made it worse. And the more we gave him Tylenol 3, the more he wanted it, the more his body needed it, the more his body started shutting down and needing it even more to keep open. And then with cannabis, you know, he's never high. You know, if I wanted to get him high, I probably could. You know, but he's so normal, and that's so awesome. And I don't understand why some of these people have this, you know, vengeance against THC. It's no
well
harmful than anything else that you're taking. It
that's
doesn't
right
kill you
it's
like Tylenol does.
It's certainly less harmful than alcohol, and these are the same people that are drinking a scotch before they go to sleep. So
or go to
it's very hypocritical.
It is. It is very hypocritical. And I'm glad you brought up that point, because I was like you. I was one of those people that were like, my kids don't want to smoke. You know, oh my gosh, I can't believe that people are doing that. You smoke pot, you're a bad person. I was horrible. You know, I was a Miss Goody Two Shoes. Oh, we don't do that kind of thing. And then, like you did, your mom got sick. My son got sick. And I had to open up my eyes and relearn everything and do my research and then finally say to everyone, I'm a hypocrite. I hated this plant from the beginning of my life, and I was wrong. And you have to open your eyes. You have to open your eyes and see that there is research out there, that there's clinical research, there's efficacy, it's there. Why won't the U.S. government let us read it, let us understand it, promote it, you know? But like you said, it's because of that money situation. And that's just, you know, we're talking about people's lives. It drives me crazy. I was just listening to a friend of mine in Illinois talk about them legalizing cannabis in the state of Illinois. And she said, oh, it's going to be so great for the state. The taxes are going to be, a great revenue for the state of Illinois. We're going to finally get out of debt. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? You want cannabis because of the taxes? How about you want cannabis because it saves lives? We need to rethink that whole situation. I think that we've really played out on this this tax situation. Oh, let's do it for the taxes. Let's do it for the money. No, let's do it for the health of the people. We're killing people with chemotherapy.
Yeah.
But that's just my take on it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think.
Are you there? Yeah, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I dropped the phone for a second. So, I think there's been a little bit of pandering. I think that there's a faction of the cannabis community or the activist community that is kind of pandering to business interests and to government interests and kind of using that tax income as a lure to get them to legalize. You know,
yeah,
I don't know.
I get it. It's kind of the same as the CBD-only approach. Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not the approach I would go with because I'm passionate about it because of, I think for people like us who we got into it because of health reasons, I think it seems like it's selling out. And, I don't know. If it gets us down the road a little bit, I guess, ultimately – I'm an anarchist, so I'm not for taxing and regulating anything.
I agree. They tax us enough. That's a whole other show.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me, let's pitch this. Does pot cure cancer? GoFundMe account. What is your main goal? What are you wanting to accomplish with this?
Let me give you my 30-second elevator pitch.
All right.
Does pot cure cancer is like the Phoenix Tears Run from the Cure documentary, but with scientists mm-hmm. to back up the anecdotal evidence. So we're going to be going into patient stories and talking to patients who cured themselves and or are curing themselves with cannabis. And then we're going to be talking to doctors to explain the science behind how that is actually working so that we can kind of, the Rick Simpson he really reinvigorated this and kind of brought it back into society's collective eye, if you will, in terms of bringing this up. But Run from the Cure didn't really explain the science. It just kind of said, okay, here's a bunch of people who say they've cured their cancer with cannabis oil. And it's a great starting point. And I'm absolutely grateful to Rick Simpson for what he did. But we need more. We need to back up all of these anecdotal stories with actual science. And the science is there. It can be done. So that's what the purpose of this film is, to really put some credibility and teeth into these patient stories that the mainstream medical world will, they use the term anecdotal evidence as a pejorative. It's kind of like it doesn't mean anything. It's quote-unquote anecdotal. And that's why it was very frustrating for me to talk to Don Abrams, where he just keeps saying, yeah, it's anecdotal. Or it's funny, they have this term that's called spontaneous remission. And it's almost like we can't admit that something else could work, that nutrition or cannabis or any of the other things that have worked, Brzezinski's work, or any of these other alternative holistic, we can't admit that actually could cure cancer. So we have to just say the cancer went away on its own, right? I mean, they actually have a medical term for this. It's called spontaneous remission.
I'm sorry. I have to laugh out loud. I mean, I literally have to laugh out loud. I have to come out from behind the scenes and laugh out loud. Danny, are you serious? Are you serious?
I know.
Absolutely. This is as serious as cancer. This is the term for it.
I've got to bleep myself. like 3 or 4 or 12 times on this. My father died of cancer as well. Cancer is prominent in my family, but as we, you know, as this is something, you know, cancer is just, it's something that grows in everybody. You know, it's how
Absolutely.
You handle your body. It's how you handle your body. And when you find out you have cancer, then you need to address it in the appropriate natural fashion that your body respects and doesn't reject. But that's
I wonder really how much cancer we had as a population way back when. You know, back in when we were evolving and back when you know, say just 100 years ago. Say 150 years ago, how many people had cancer and died of it? You know, we took cannabis out of our pharmacopoeia back in the 1930s. So
right.
How much cancer
That's
was going
right.
on
That's
back
right.
then?
Well, I think there
That's
are other factors as well. You know, the industrialized farming and all of these things, the quality of the food, air, water,
right.
all in decline. These are all things. We are under a constant chemical attack on this planet.
Well,
our bodies are under constant stress. Forget about even the environmental and chemical aspects. Then there's the emotional stress that we live, because we're living, I believe, we're living in a way that we are not meant to live.
Absolutely.
The rat race, however
exactly
you want to
right.
describe it, society has completely changed, and not for the better. It has not evolved. It has devolved, because we are now, we're consumers.
Right.
And this crony capitalist system that we're in, it has us like rats on a wheel chasing things, chasing TVs and cars and homes and material wealth. And we've forgotten what our real wealth is, which is our health is our number one health, wealth. Without health, we have nothing.
That's
right.
exactly right. And I believe that goes back to, you know, the very basis of the Constitution. And, you know, let's get into it, the laws, because we're fighting. All of us are fighting. You know, Wendy had to move with her family to another
so
state
<did you. laughs>
for her son. I had to move.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're from Illinois. I mean, you're like a whole other country, literally, away.
Yeah, yeah.
And Wendy and I have talked
Absolutely.
About that. We've had lunch, and we, like, try and make out each other's conversations because we're from different states, but we're in the same United States, but yet we're here in the same one state that allows us to give a plant in different forms, natural forms, and it helps. You know, it helped her son with Crohn's. It's helped my son with Dravet. And then here we are fighting, literally fighting. And, you know, you've got Israel and the research with Raphael Meshulam. I mean, cannabis absolutely cures cancer. But even more importantly, it's the knowledge of how the human body works and how nature works.
Yep.
That's how you cure cancer.
That's right.
That's how
that's
you
right.
cure
and
cancer. We're feeding ourselves. I mean, I'm a Dr. Pepper addict. It's hideous. I'm horrible. I tell you, hello, my name is Amy. I'm an addict, and I am. I'm a Dr. Pepper addict. I'm a caffeine and sugar addict. And, you know, we came from Oklahoma, and you were thinking that you're in the farmland. You're on the farmland. You go to the grocery store, you're buying fruits and vegetables from other countries, literally. There's no organic expletive. There's no, oh, we didn't use these pesticides. And that's what's hideous, because we are ingesting more. And from the research, and Danny, correct me, you've done some hefty, hefty research, and I know Wendy has as well. But from what I was told, like, the exhaust from a car has more carcinogens than, like, cigarettes or anything that you could literally inhale directly. Is that right? I mean, is that just crap? You know, how do we know anymore? Danny, you've been researching. How do we know?
I don't know. I don't know specifically that, whether you're better off smoking a cigarette or sucking in exhaust from a car. I would guess probably that if you put your mouth on the tailpipe, yeah, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Amy, before we get off here, I don't know how many minutes we have left. Amy, do you know?
Got about 8. I'm dropping off here. We've got a couple of callers. Do you guys want to take calls? Oh, matter of fact, let's wind it up with you guys, and we'll take callers on a Q&A on another hour some other time.
Okay.
So
yeah, that sounds great. Because
wrap
I would
it up
like
with y'all.
Him to. I would like Danny for you to to really explain how people can get a hold of you if they have had success treating their cancer with cannabis.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking for patient stories. So if you have a story that you want to tell, you can get in touch with us at doespotcurecancer.com. You could go to our Facebook page. But we have a form right on doespotcurecancer.com, and you can fill out information about your story and your illness and how you treated it. We would love it if your doctor is on board, but that's not a requirement. If your doctor is willing to be interviewed as well, that would be amazing. But if you want to support the project, also doespotcurecancer.com, we're selling T-shirts, and the T-shirts, the profit goes to funding the film. We do have a GoFundMe set up. It's gofundme.com/doespotcurecancer. You can also get that from our website. So, I mean, if you can't afford to donate, I mean, every penny counts. And listen, I am doing this film I'm pinching every penny to make sure it goes the farthest. So, you know, I'm doing things like bartering. A friend of mine had a car. They needed to get down to Florida, and I drove the car down for her while I was down there. I interviewed some patients, and then she flew me back. So, like, you know, I'm trying to spend the money as wisely as I can to make it go as far as I can. I still need to get out to Madrid to talk to the Guzman team. I mean, no documentary on cancer and cannabis would be complete without interviewing Manuel Guzman, Cristina Sanchez, and their team out there. And
absolutely.
Their team out there. I mean, I have to do that. So
absolutely.
What I've been doing is kind of fundraising as I go along, and as I need to go on a trip, then I'll kind of do a push for the fundraising. But you know, if you want to donate, if you want to come on and become a producer, we're looking for executive producers who can make larger donations or larger investments. You know, I'm willing to talk about that. And, you know, like I said, we have some awesome T-shirts. We have great T-shirts. The one I'm wearing right now says Keep Calm and Cure Cancer, and it has the cannabis leaf on it. The other one says I Cannabis Cancer. It's kind of like the I Love New York, but it's I, the cannabis leaf, and then cancer. So they're pretty cool T-shirts that push the message, and people will stop. People have stopped me in Walmart and CVS, and I'm like buying batteries, and the lady's like, does pot cure cancer? And I get into a whole conversation, and I'm like, well, really what cannabis does is it boosts your immune system, and your immune system cures your cancer. It's your body. It's you are doing it. So, you know, I'm able to have that conversation. So the T-shirts are a great way to not just to support the film, but to educate people about it. And really show your support for the cannabis movement at large. The more we normalize this, and I know in Colorado it's normal now. 2 years in,
it is.
We need to normalize it everywhere else as well. So
absolutely,
we need
we
to keep pushing the message and spreading it
out to Colorado to talk to you know I know people. So
absolutely,
I
will be back
to
Colorado for sure.
Yeah, and when you do, get a hold of us, and we would love to introduce you to some of the patients that we know that have been that are coming in from as refugees. We have a whole like load of refugees on our refugee site AMR, and you can access a ton of people and a ton of information that are firsthand using cannabis to cure their cancer.
Absolutely.
And I think it's absolutely fantastic.
I'm gonna st- start fundraising right now for my ticket. If you want to support me and get me out to Colorado so I can meet all these awesome people that Wendy and Amy can introduce me to, please go make a donation at doespotcurecancer.com. Just hit that donate link. And, you know, every little bit helps.
Absolutely. Well,
you know what else I have to mention?
Just real quickly.
I want to mention that I've also set up a Patreon account. And so that's patreon.com/DannyPanzella. And what that does is when you sign up to be a monthly donor, you can pledge $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. That will give you access. I'm going to be uploading all of the interviews in their full unedited length onto that website. And so if you're a monthly subscriber, you'll be able to get access to watch all the full-length interviews. We're going to have special behind-the-scenes stuff. As a matter of fact, I'm about to release on Monday a mini-documentary that was done about me making the documentary. So
that's awesome.
That's going to be available to those subscribers. So you'll be able to get that from doespotcurecancer.com as well.
Great. Well, we have about 2 seconds left. So I wanted to thank you so much for not only your research and your documentary, but giving us the time to talk to us about it today. I wish you so much luck, and I would love to help you in your journey, and I know Amy would also. Thank you. Really.
No, thank you for helping me. Without the help of the cannabis community, I wouldn't be able to do this.
It's true. It's true. And we're family now. You know, this is our family, and this is what we do, and we need to support this. So I'm completely, you know, with you, and I hope that everyone out there listening understands that this is really, really important, and we need to get the word out. Go to doespotcurecancer.com and give your story, give your money, give your love and good juju to Danny, and get it out there and help us prove that cannabis is good for you and that can cure cancer. And if it doesn't cure you, it could definitely help and give you a better quality of life. So my name is Wendy Turner, and on behalf of the Millennium Grown Broadcast Network, I appreciate your time, and thank you all for listening. We will see you next time. Good night.
Good night.